We are met in the presence of God with the angels in highest heaven, with the saints of every age, with the church throughout the world. O God, make our hearts places of peace. And root deeply within us friendship and unity, concord and reverence.
So we may give peace to one another sincerely and receive it.
Now's the time to give away that peace. The peace of Christ be with you all. Now greet each other with peace. Welcome to Old South Church in Boston. We are an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ, which means this: no matter who you are, no matter how much money you have, no matter who you love, no matter what color your skin is, no matter if you're single, married, cohabitating, or divorced, no matter if you're gay, straight, bisexual, or transitioning from one to another, no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome and honored and loved in this place. You are welcome here at Old South Church, and I hope you won't be offended if I say we're a little surprised that you're here today, especially now as we get deeper and deeper into the season of Lent. It's a season of preparation, a season of fasting and praying. It's a season to say no to yourself and yes to someone else. It's a season to recommit your life to acts of social justice, a season to pick up your cross and follow, a season to lose your life in order to gain it. We are surprised and thrilled that you're here today, that you're up for this challenge, that we get to do this thing called Lent together. So welcome to Old South Church in Boston. We're working hard not to just be a friendly church, but to be a church where we can make friends together. There's a difference. In order to do this, however, we need your help. There's a friendship pad at the end of every pew. We need you to pick it up, jot your name and address or contact information if you're new, so we can reach out to you and say thank you for being here. There's also a blue announcement sheet inside your bulletin that tells you just a little bit, a snapshot about our life together here at Old South. A few things to highlight after worship. You're invited for coffee, cake, and charming conversation if you meet someone new through those doors in the Gordon Chapel. Or you're invited to join us for our Lenten series up in Mary Norton Hall. We're reading the Mudhouse Sabbath as a community, and we're trying on different practices of spirituality. We have kept Sabbath together. We have fasted together. This week, we're going to throw the doors of our homes wide open and do what Christians are called to do: welcome the stranger and the alien and the outcast into our lives and in our homes. Finally, after worship at 2 p.m., there's a memorial service for the late Reverend Marcus Walker. He was an assistant minister here and well-loved from 1983 to 1989, so stick around for that. Friends, we are here, foolish enough to believe that somehow if we lose our lives during Lent, we will gain them again. We are here, and God is here, calling us into a sweet hour of prayer. So come, let us worship God.
Thank you. Amen, amen. If you noted in the music notes, that song and another one today are in memory of Peter Gomes, the Reverend at Harvard Memorial Church, who Harry wanted to remember this morning with music. I invite forward at this time Emily and Gabriella. Would you come forward and bring your parents, godparents, grandparents?
I want to invite Old South children up here to join us. You know, we can't do this without you, so come on up. Come on, Jean. Come on, Miranda. Anybody else out there? So, you know that you're here to be sure that we have all the things we need for a baptism, so can you tell me what we need to have with us to do a baptism well? Oh, a couple more, a bunch more. All right, what do we need for a baptism? Hit it.
Water.
Water. Does anybody see any water? What's the water for? Put it on their heads, that's right. What else do we need?
A baby.
A baby. Anybody see babies? Nice. What else?
God.
Is God here? What do you think? Yeah, good. Anything else? The congregation. That's right. Is there a congregation here? If so, say amen.
Amen.
Good. I think we have all we need. Can anybody think of anything else? Just to be sure I'm not forgetting. Good. Here we go.
Join with us in the litany of baptism in your bulletins. We are gathered to present Emily Michelle Longman Keene and Gabriella Ramos to the church and to dedicate them to God. What can we affirm about them?
As these children grow in our congregation, how will they know that they are children of God made in God's image?
How will they learn of the Christian faith?
Through our education awareness, higher thoughts, we will tell them about Abraham, Father Abraham, about Sarah, Mother Isaac, about Moses, Mary, and their ancestors, about Moses, Samuel, Abraham, about Mary, and Joseph, Obedience, and Institute, about the Savior Jesus.
And what, in turn, will we expect of them?
We look forward to seeing them at the Lord's table, sharing with them the costs and joys of discipleship, learning and growing with them in the Christian religion, declaring in one voice our faith in God, God's Son, Jesus.
Do you, Tim and Tracy, Heather and Arturo, parents, and William, Lee and Gladys, grandparents, Javier, godparent, assume your primary responsibility for fulfilling these expectations by growing with these children in the Christian faith, helping them to become faithful members of the Church of Jesus Christ, and by offering them the nurture and support of the Christian Church.
With the help of God, we happily and genuinely accept this serious duty.
And do you, the Old South congregation, pledge to work toward creating and maintaining a nurturing and challenging Christian environment for these children?
Then may God be with us.
Okay, guys, here's where you come in again. I'm going to start praying, and then I'm going to pour the water. And after I pour the water, I need you to put your hands up over it and picture all the love that's in you flowing out through your hands into that water. We need to be sure it's really blessed, really full of love for these babies. So I'm going to start praying, and then I'll tell you when to put your hands up. Will you pray with me? We thank you, God, for the gift of creation called forth by your saving word. Before the world had shape and form, your Spirit moved over the face of the waters. Out of the waters of the deep you formed the firmament and brought forth the earth to sustain all life. In the time of Noah you washed the earth with the waters of the flood, and your ark of salvation bore a new beginning. In the time of Moses, your people Israel passed through the Red Sea waters from slavery to freedom and crossed the flowing Jordan to enter the promised land. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus Christ, who was nurtured in the waters of Mary's womb. Jesus was baptized by John in the water of the Jordan, became living water to a woman at the Samaritan well, washed the feet of the disciples, and sent them forth to baptize all the nations by water and the Holy Spirit.
Bless by your Holy Spirit, gracious God, this water. By your Holy Spirit, save those who confess the name of Jesus Christ, that sin may have no power over them. Create new life in those baptized today, that they may rise in Christ. Amen.
By what name is this child called?
Emily Michelle.
Emily Michelle, we baptize you in the name of the one whom Jesus called Abba, Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit be upon you, Emily Michelle, child of God, disciple of Christ, member of the Church. Amen.
By what name is this child called? Gabriella. We baptize you in the name of the one whom Jesus called Abba, Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit be upon you, Gabriella, child of God, disciple of Christ, and member of the Church.
Please join me in a congregational welcome printed in your bulletin. We rejoice in God's empowering love, freely given to each and all. We welcome you, newly baptized, in the circle of love in Christ's Church. We promise to pray for you, to seek the depths of faith with you, to support you, and to love you. We covenant with you to love God with all our hearts, minds, souls, and strength, and our neighbors as ourselves. Amen.
All right, you guys can all go to church school, and if you would all stay seated and join in singing the hymn of baptism printed in your bulletin, we will come and introduce your new siblings to you.
If you would join with me responsively in the scripture reading. Let us pray. God of sacred stories, as we approach your word, nurture our imaginations, challenge our assumptions, and startle us with your presence. The author of Hebrews recommends that we do what about love? And what does the author propose about how to act toward strangers? Why hospitality? What else did the author write? Remember them in what way? Well, and who else does the author urge us to remember? How might we do that? It's Monday afternoon. The Gordon Chapel is all set up. The chairs are lined up in neat, straight rows with neat aisles. Small, travel-sized Kleenex are spread around among the chairs. The lights are up, the candles are lit, and in the chancel there are two large, identical flower arrangements, one on either side of the chancel, and in the middle, right between them, on a pillar, there is an urn. Impossibly small, a tiny urn. A baby's body is such a small thing. The guests begin to arrive. They are wearing somber colors. Their faces are sober, downcast. Family and dear, dear friends greet each other. For the most part, they greet each other in silence. Hugs, the squeezing of a hand, a gentle pat or touch, wordless greetings, for there are no words equal to a baby's death. The young parents were married 4 years ago in that same chapel by our wedding minister, by Cal Genzel. And 2 years ago, right here at this font, they brought their first child to be baptized. But Monday, they're in the chapel to commend into God's love and care their second child, an infant. Our voices husky, we pray together on behalf of this small young soul. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. The biblical author commands, remember those who are in prison as though you are in prison with them. Remember those who are being tortured as if you yourself are being tortured. Remember those who grieve as though you yourself are grieving. This is a tall order. Too tall for us. I am not capable of remembering those who are tortured as if I am being tortured. And I cannot, and I will not, pretend to know the torturous grief of a parent who has lost a child. And then I realized the author isn't writing to me or to you as individuals. The author is writing to the church. The whole church. The church triumphant. The church visible and invisible. The church universal. The quick and the dead. For we are greater than the sum of our parts. The family whose baby we commended to God last Monday afternoon was ministered to by the whole church. And it took that entire church, the quick and the dead, to minister to this family. They were ministered to by the beauty and solemnity of the Gothic chapel, by the ancient rite of funeral and burial, by the organist's tender rendition of Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. They were ministered to by the way the children of the Old South preschool, back from a walk outside, tiptoed past the chapel on their way to the elevator out of respect for a grieving family. They were ministered to by the ancient psalms we recited together through our tears. They were ministered to by the venerable prayers we prayed, prayers worn smooth and beautiful by the passing streams of time. They were ministered to by the institution of ordination by which some among us are authorized to handle the mysteries of life and death. They were ministered to by your staff, who held their grief so tenderly as we made arrangements. They were ministered to by the church's greatest treasure, the story of resurrection. Remember those who grieve, says the author of Hebrews, as if you yourselves are grieving. But it's too tall an order for any one of us alone, but not too tall for the church. That's why it's not good enough when somebody says to me, oh, I worship God. I worship God up on the mountain. I worship God on the ski mountain or the golf course. Now, that may be true that you worship God on the mountain or the golf course, but I tell you this, it does nothing for the world's pain. Sometimes I think there is no greater purpose for these walls than to feel and absorb the world's pain. Over 50,000 people enter this sanctuary every year. That's not counting the families who came for baptism today. It's not counting the bell choir, the vocal choir, or all of you. It's not counting people who come to worship, weddings, funerals, concerts, graduations, lectures, or meetings. 50,000 people. That's not counting the Old South preschoolers and their families, the Snowden High School students and their families who come here 5 days a week. 50,000 people come here a year. Not counting those who come for AA meetings, rehearsals, productions, music lessons, fundraisers, yoga, retreats, overnights. Not counting the chat staff of Old South Church or volunteers or florists or plumbers or electricians, inspectors, caterers, mail carriers, organ conservator, piano tuner, or any other delivery people. 50,000 people every year walk in off the street to enter this sanctuary just to be with God, to pray, to wonder, sometimes to take photos, to get out of the cold or the rain. And some of those 50,000 people write their prayers out, put them in the box in the back, and they leave their prayers in our keeping. Occasionally there are prayers of thanksgiving and praise, but I have to tell you the truth, mostly not. Mostly they are desperate prayers, pleading for help, begging for miracles. And this past week, some of their prayers sounded like this.
I pray for 5-year-old Damon. Oh God, help him regain his hearing.
For my friend Abigail, who is accidentally pregnant and doesn't know what to do.
My mom is very ill, has a brain cancer. She will leave us soon. Give her a prayer just to comfort her. Thanks.
Help me to be a good father. Watch over my son and daughter. Keep them safe. Please, God.
Please remember our daughter, Kinta,
who has endured a grave illness.
She is struggling to recover.
Not so much in body anymore,
but very much in spirit.
May she find hope and comfort and joy again.
Love her parents.
It is Monday evening now. The family and friends who came to the Gordon Chapel to commend to God an infant, they are long gone. Their grief remains with them, but they have left the building. Peace cranes hang from the pulpit now, made by Old South Church School children, to give witness to their solidarity with the people and nation of Japan. The church office, assisted by volunteers Lois and Shelley, produced and folded 1,000 bulletins for the citywide candlelight vigil for Japan. And some 18 members of Old South, who among you are those 18 who volunteered and ushered that day? Raise your hands for me. 18 members of Old South Church came here to keep vigil with those who were keeping vigil, to minister with those who weep for Japan. And our guests begin to arrive slowly in twos and threes, couples, families, friends, co-workers, many of them Asian, Japanese. As they enter, each is handed a candle and a bulletin. We are gathered to lament what has occurred in Japan: earthquake, tsunami, nuclear disaster, a trifold calamity of apocalyptic proportions. And the vigil, it lasts 2 hours. 2 hours of tears, stories, and firsthand accounts. A Buddhist monk chants an ancient prayer that is wrung from the heart of the universe. The president of the Japan Society of Boston reads desperate emails from Japan, emails blurting their truth in real time. And as he reads, you can feel the water rising, homes dislodging from their foundations, and panic setting in. And we are here in the sanctuary, huddled against a catastrophe around which we cannot wrap our heads. And so we weep, sing, pray, hug, light candles. We try to warm our cold souls by candlelight, and we ache for the light from our small flames to reach and warm the people of Japan. Remember those who grieve, writes the author, as if you yourself are grieving. Remember those who suffer calamity as though you yourselves are suffering calamity. But it's a tall order, too tall for any of us alone. How can we possibly understand the suffering of the Japanese father whose wife, children, mother were carried into the sea in a moment's time? But here's the thing. The author of the letter to the Hebrews wasn't writing to you as an individual or to me. He isn't expecting you or me to suffer or grieve in this way. He is writing to the whole church, the body of Christ around the world and across time, the quick and the dead, the church universal, for we are larger than the sum of our parts. Over 50,000 people enter this sanctuary every year. Some of them write out their prayers and leave them for us in our keeping. Occasionally, there are prayers of thanksgiving and praise, but mostly not. For the most part, they are urgent, desperate prayers asking for help, hope, miracles. And this past week, some of their prayers sounded like this.
I pray for the tsunami victims in Japan, for all who were swept away by that terrible, terrible wave.
Please pray for all the Japanese people in the Japanese country in this difficult time.
I am praying for our friend Francis and all victims of the Pike River mine and the people of Christchurch, New Zealand.
Please pray for Libya, Syria, Egypt, Iran, Afghanistan, Israel, Palestine, and Jordan. Oh God, I pray for peace on this earth.
Our soldiers, give them courage. Keep them from harm.
God, please help us stop being racist.
Church, hear this. Hospitality is not optional for us. The hospitality of grieving with those who grieve, suffering with those who suffer, is not optional for us. Hospitality is a biblical mandate, an ecclesiastical exigency, a churchly charge. Every Monday morning, therefore, Sexton Robert Blenheim arrives here early, around 6:30 or 7 a.m. He picks up the trash outside that is brought in on the winds that gets into our gardens and portico. He sweeps the sidewalks around the church. He vacuums the tower entry and the narthex. He walks up and down the aisles in the sanctuary, straightening, picking up. He turns on the lights. At about 7:50 a.m., our receptionist, Corey Spence, arrives. Corey takes off his coat, unwraps the scarf from around his neck, settles in at the office, checks the messages on the church's answering machine, and just before 8 a.m., he signals to Robert, who opens the great doors onto the street. Robert sets out the heavy signboards. Sanctuary in the City, declares one. Open for prayer, invites another. You are welcome here, says a third. And the world, fulsome, urgent, funny, desperate, joyful, intoxicated, ashamed, weary, and grief-stricken, the world tumbles into this house of God, into this place that is big enough because it is so much bigger than the sum of its parts, big enough to absorb all the world can bring to it.
Good morning, Mom. Good morning, Dad. I'm 58 years old today. Can you believe it? I miss you so much. Thank you for everything. Your son, Walter.
Pray for the homeless. Keep them warm. Keep them safe.
Dear God, I'm from Detroit. You probably know that. And I'm trying to get settled in Boston. You probably know that too. Could you help me find a job, please? I really, really, really need one. Thank you in advance. Yours truly, Guillermo.
Thank you.
God be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us pray. Today, I will be praying the prayers of the people while standing in the midst of the people as a sign that we are all striving to hear God's word together. Sometimes we do not see you, O God. Sometimes we see only criminals where you see angels. We see only terrorists where you see someone in need of love. We see only our busy schedules where you see someone in need of help. For this, we ask your forgiveness. Bless our eyes with your divine sight. Lord, have mercy. Sometimes we do not appreciate your blessings, O God. Sometimes we don't fully appreciate our mothers until they are diagnosed with breast cancer. Sometimes we aren't proud of our children until they die in the battlefield. Sometimes we ignore our global neighbors until they are struck by large-scale disaster. For this, we ask your forgiveness. Bless our hearts with your divine gratitude. Lord, have mercy. Mother of life itself, you know we are not perfect. You know we make mistakes, and yet you welcome us strangers as your own children. You know we have trouble quitting our addictions, addictions to drugs, addictions to oil, addictions to conflict, and yet you still believe in us. Forgive us now, as you have forgiven us throughout history. Bless our souls with your divine power. Lord, have mercy. Forgive us, God, and hear our prayers. Hear our sung prayers in thanksgiving for the life and ministry of the Reverend Professor Peter Gomes. We send the soul of this blessed servant into your loving arms. Hear the prayers of those visitors who left a written prayer in the prayer box this past week. For Kara and Eduardo. For the victims and relief workers in Japan, for healing. Hear the prayers of those near and dear to us, near and dear to this congregation. For Anita and her father Francis. For Barbara, Margot, and Anne. Tommy Sue, Eric, Kiris, for Ruby, for Dwayne and Janice, for Craig and Saki, Sue, Thomas, Carl, Andrea, for Jack and Aiden. Bless them with your divine peace. And in such a busy world, give us this rare moment of silence to confess our own hearts to you, so that we may too find that peace. Lord, have mercy. We pray to you individually, and we pray to you as a unified body of Christ, using the words your Son taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory of God. Amen and amen.
Have you been working on your taxes? Have you taken that shoebox out of the closet and started sorting through it? Or have you been clicking your way through Quicken, trying to update all the stuff you should have been updating all year long? Have you been working on your taxes? If so, let me ask you this. Can your accountant tell how much you love God? Can the IRS tell, just on the strength of your return, that you're trying to build a whole new world? If you got audited, would the auditor raise her eyebrows at how much you spend on justice? More importantly, if God were to compare the devotion shown forth in your heart to the devotion shown forth in your checkbook, would the two match up? If not, I have good news for you. The offering that you give today will go to support ministries of justice and beauty and mercy in a world that God loves and in a world that needs them. There's a special offering envelope in the pews for victims of the earthquake and tsunami in Japan. This is an offering being sponsored by the Christian Service and Outreach Committee. That committee has agreed to match anything that this congregation takes in, up to $2,000. I have good news for you. In the week that we've been doing this special offering, we've blown that number out of the water. We're almost at $10,000 now. Every cent that you put in that envelope or every cent that you put on a check made out to Old South Church with earthquake tsunami relief in the memo line, every one of those cents will go out the door through the United Church of Christ and through Church World Service to mission partners on the ground there doing hands-on work to save the world. Anything that you don't put in the envelope or mark for the tsunami offering will go to the ongoing work of mission and justice here at Old South Church in Boston. Good sisters and brothers, this morning's tax-deductible offering will now be given and received. God, don't leave this money lying in the plates without a blessing. Don't leave this money in the safe without a blessing. Don't leave it in the bank account without a blessing. Don't leave this money without your Spirit upon it. By your blessing, turn it into food. Turn it into shelter. Turn it into warmth and open doors. Turn it into healing and hope and a beacon for a broken world. God, don't leave this money just sitting there. Turn it into your kingdom. We pray as we have given in Jesus' name. Amen.
Into this new week. Shun the hollow, hallow the good. Forgive those who wound you. Wound not in return. Encourage the discouraged. Cherish times with the lonely. Pray in private crannies about all things. Be found celebrating. Be seen smiling. Practice rejoicing, encourage laughter in your soul, and may the blessing of Almighty God, our Creator, Christ, our brother and Savior, and the Holy Spirit be with you this day and every day, and let the whole church say,
Amen.